to the reading tonight, and we're going to read from the New Testament epistle of 1 Peter, chapter 2, and we're going to read verses 1, 2, and 3. 1 Peter, chapter 2, and verses 1, 2, and 3. If you have it, say amen. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Praise God. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for the word that you have given to us tonight. Pray, God, that you would plant it in our heart and in our mind. Lord, that let's apply it, Lord, in our daily lives. God, and let us grow up in you. Lord, that we might bear fruit, that we might be used, O God, as you desire to use us. We might edify one another and exalt thy holy name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you, and you may be seated tonight. I know it's Wednesday night, Bible study, and so that's what we're going to attempt to do tonight, is to explore the Word of God. These three verses of Scripture will help us and aid us as we pursue spiritual growth. So if we have a title tonight, it would be Earnestly Pursuing Spiritual Growth. That growth is something that that not only that is necessary if we are to be pleasing to God, but it's absolutely essential if we are to safeguard the wonderful gift that God has given to us. We don't in any way want to stop or hinder or prevent the will of God from being fulfilled in our life. And so we must grow. We will either grow or we will stagnate. We'll atrophy and we will shrivel up and will eventually die. But we must grow and mature and reach for the perfection that is the Lord Jesus Christ. The Word of God is not only the basis for our spiritual birth. The Bible says we're begotten by the Word of God. We're begotten by that is eternal, that's incorruptible, the Word of God. And so, because we are born by the Word of God, we're born of something that is eternal, something that is unchanging. The Bible says, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word of God is eternal. It is a Word that will stand. That Word of God is not constantly changing. But the Word of God allows us to walk in light and in truth and in the grace of God. And so the Word of God is the basis for our spiritual life. That if we are going to be spiritual, we are going to have to fall in love with the Word of God. The Word of God is the foundation of spiritual growth. That we must be rooted and grounded in the Word of God. That we would not be led astray by the slight of men and with every thing that comes along, but we are built upon, that we are rooted in the truth of God's Word. The Bible says, buy the truth and sell it not. And just as the Word of God is the basis for spiritual birth, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. It is also essential for spiritual growth. You cannot grow spiritually and have an abhorrence for the Word of God. You might not eat certain vegetables. You might not like hominy. You might not like asparagus. There may be certain things that just don't delight your palate. But when it comes to the things of God, you cannot pick and choose, amen, what you like and what you don't like. Amen. We've got to take all of the Word of God. Amen. Every word is inspired by the Holy Ghost and is profitable unto us for instruction and teaching and doctrine. We need the Word of God. And so it's absolutely essential that we digest God's Word. Thy Word, David said, I have hid in mine heart that I might not sin against you. We need to search the Word of God. Now we read in 1 Peter chapter 2. I want to read it again, but I want to read it in the New Living Translation. It's a paraphrase of the original Greek, and it says this: so get rid of all malicious behavior and deceit. Don't just pretend to be good. Be done with hypocrisy and jealousy and backstabbing. You must crave pure spiritual milk so that you can grow into the fullness of your salvation. Cry out for this nourishment as a baby cries for milk, now that you have had a taste of the Lord's kindness. That once a baby gets a little bit of taste of its mother's milk, there is no holding back. When that baby gets hungry, it's going to cry out, amen, for the nourishment, amen, of that milk. Because it's important to that child's development, its growth, that as children of God, we need to have a desire for the pure milk of the Word of God, that we can grow up, amen, in the things of God, that we can grow to maturity. Now, there are several things that will help to stimulate spiritual growth. So if we want to grow, we cannot be particular about what we endure or what kind of circumstances that we face. None of us choose the circumstances in which we are placed. None of us choose the mother and father that brought us into the world. None of us choose the color of our hair, the color of our eyes, or our complexion. There are a lot of things in life that we absolutely have no power over. And so when it comes to spiritual growth, we cannot try to manipulate things in order that they might suit our fancy. But we have got to learn to grow in whatever, amen, circumstance we find ourselves. And one philosopher said, grow where you're planted. Amen. Grow where you're planted, regardless of what kind of circumstances that you have, regardless of what limitations you have. Amen. That's no excuse for not growing in maturity in the kingdom of God. Amen. That whatever the circumstances, our, amen, responsibility is to grow and to mature and to strive to be more like Jesus. Problems provide opportunities for spiritual growth. Nobody likes problems. We don't like struggles. We don't like difficulty. We don't like to be up against the wall. But your problems will help to stimulate growth. I have witnessed that trees that grew up out of the solid rock. I don't know how it happened, but if you go out west and up on the rocky slopes, that you'll find trees that found just a little bit of soil, and that seed began to germinate, and it began to grow until it began to literally break the rock asunder, and it rooted itself in the side of that hill or that mountain, and it grew in spite of its circumstances. It became strong so that when the wind blows and the storms come, it's anchored upon the solid rock. Trials and tribulations are opportunities for spiritual growth. When we struggle, in fact, sometimes struggle is necessary. It's vital to our very existence. You can't help a little chick out of an egg without bringing it to an early death, to a quick demise, because that little chick requires a struggle. It requires that struggle to get out of its shell. And so it is in the kingdom of God that God knows that you need some struggles. God knows that you need to come up against some trials and some tests. Amen. So that you'll be strong. Amen. That you'll be able to stand against the fiery darts of the enemy. Problems are opportunities for spiritual growth. And so if you've got some problems in your life, amen, don't curse, amen, your circumstances. Don't be negative in your thinking. Amen. But, amen, realize that it's an opportunity to be strong. Amen. It's an opportunity to be an overcomer. The Bible tells us, he that is born of God overcometh the world. Sure, there's problems in the world. The world is full of trouble and strife. But God knows that we need, amen, to be strong in order to let our light shine. Amen. The light shines brightest in the blackest of the night. And so problems provide opportunities for spiritual growth. Self-discipline aids in spiritual growth. If you want to grow in maturity, if you want to grow unto a more complete measure of the love and the grace and the mercy of God, you've got to develop some disciplines in your life. Some people call standards disciplines. Whatever you call them, you need them. Amen. I didn't especially like discipline when I was growing, but I want you to know that children need discipline, or they'll grow up to be spoiled. They'll grow up to be unruly and rebellious. Amen. As children of God, we need discipline. And the most important discipline is self-discipline. Amen. That's why we need to fast. Amen. It's a discipline of the flesh, because the flesh doesn't like to fast. The flesh likes to feast. Amen. We need to pray, because the flesh don't like to pray. The flesh likes to play. Amen. Amen. But we can't play all the time. There's sometimes we need to be on our knees praying and seeking God. Amen. We need some disciplines. Amen. We need to discipline. Amen. How we are stewards of the blessings of God. Amen. We need financial discipline as children of God. If you want to grow in maturity, if you want to be a shining light, amen, there are some we have to discipline ourselves. Amen. Sometimes we have to tell self no. Because we want, just because we want it doesn't mean it's good for us to get it. Amen. Greed is not one of the 9 spiritual gifts. Amen. But we live in a greedy world. Amen. It's mine, mine, mine. Everybody wants, amen, to buy and to take possession of that that their heart desires. But we need to seek, Jesus said we need to seek heavenly treasure. He said, don't lay up treasure on earth where rust and moth doth corrupt and thieves break in and steal, but rather lay up treasure in heaven. And so we need discipline. Hallelujah. Amen. If we want to grow in maturity, amen, sometimes we have to discipline ourselves and we have to learn not to overindulge in the culinary arts, and to overindulge in the pastries and the apple pies and the fried chicken and the donuts and all that stuff. All that stuff's good. Amen. But when your body is a mess and you don't feel good and you're not healthy, amen, it's hard to worship when you don't really feel good. It's hard to shout, amen, where you can barely, amen, lift your hand. And so we need to learn to discipline ourselves and, amen, to do the things, amen, that promote the temple of the living God. We need to take care of the temple. Amen. You don't believe in smoking and chewing and dipping and all that kind of stuff. There's a whole lot more in the Bible about gluttony than there is about smoking. I didn't write the book. But if we want to grow, we've got to fall in love with the Word. Amen. Because if we're going to grow, we've got to live by the Word. Amen. If the Word teaches it, amen, we need to live it. Hallelujah. Praise God. And then, if we want to grow, we need to have right attitudes. Amen. Your attitude will affect your altitude. Amen. If you've got a bad attitude, you know, it's hard to be like Jesus when you got a bad attitude. Because Jesus never had a bad day. Or a bad attitude. So if we're Christians, we need to have a good attitude. Amen. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Amen. I'm going to think myself happy. Amen. I'm happy tonight because Jesus is everything. I'm happy tonight because everything that I'll ever need, I find in Jesus. Amen. So a right attitude encourages spiritual growth. Caleb said, give me this mountain over here. Amen. He was mature enough. Amen. In God. And he knew that it wasn't by his own strength, but it was the will of God for him to have that mountain. It was the will of God because God promised it to the children of Israel for their inheritance. We need to have a proper attitude. Amen. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Amen. Amen. He can do exceeding abundantly above all that we are able to ask or think. Amen. Some of us never, amen, think. Some of us never dream. Amen. You do have to think, amen, for that scripture to have any meaning or value. Amen. He is able, but we've got to have a vision. Amen. We've got to dream some dreams. We've got to speak, amen, in faith. Hallelujah. In His name, I can do all things. Hallelujah. In the power of Jesus Christ, I can. I can't do it in my flesh, but I can do it through Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. The Bible says He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we're able to ask or think according to the power that worketh in us. We need to have a right attitude. We need to think that God would have us to think. The Bible says, let that mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who humbled Himself. Amen. Amen. I want you to know we need to have a right attitude. Bad attitudes will cripple your walk with God. Wrong attitudes will prevent you from fulfilling, amen, the call that God has placed upon your life. And then fourthly, prayer is a catalyst for spiritual growth. Amen. You'll never grow spiritually without prayer. You'll never mature as a saint of God without prayer. You'll never, amen, become very strong in God without prayer. Amen. All of the prophets and the apostles and the men of renown, amen, that did exploits, amen, were men of prayer. Amen. We've got to be men and women of prayer. If we're going to accomplish what God would have us to accomplish, we can't do it by our own power. We can't do it, amen, by our own intellect. But we've got to do it by thinking as God would have us think, and pray as God would have us pray. Not my will, but Thy will be done. Amen. Prayer is not about trying to change God. It's trying to change us. Amen. If prayer doesn't change you, then you've wasted God's time and yours. Amen. We need transformation. The Bible says, be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind. Amen. Besides meditating on the Word of God, one thing that will transform the way we think, amen, is the way we pray. Amen. We need to pray, amen, as Jesus taught His disciples how to pray. There is a proper way of approaching God. Amen. Prayer is very important. And Jesus taught His disciples how to pray. Amen. If we will follow the pattern of prayer that God has given us in His Word, not repeat after Jesus, not memorize a prayer, but to pray according to the will of God. Pray, not my will, but Thine be done. Amen. There's no telling what God will do in our life. Hallelujah. I thank God for prayer. I thank God for spiritual growth. I want to pursue spiritual growth. I want to grow to the fullest extent that God would have me to grow. But there are five things that we read here in this passage of Scripture in 1 Peter in our text that will absolutely stop spiritual growth. Five things that will prevent you, amen, from doing the things that God has called you to do. Five things that will cause you to shrivel up and die, that remain atrophied and weak, amen, without strength. And the five things are mentioned here in 1 Peter chapter 2. The first of those things that the Apostle Peter mentions is malice. Now sometimes I just feel like it's important to look up the word in the dictionary. I may think I know what it means, but sometimes it's good to check and make sure that you have the right meaning. And so I looked up every one of these words to see what the precise meaning of malice was. And I found out that this malice is a desire to inflict injury, harm, or suffering on another. Have you ever had a desire to get even with somebody? Have you ever thought, well, I'll show them They think they have put one over on me. I'll put one over on them. Is that an attitude of a mature saint of God? No, it's not. Malice is a desire to inflict injury, harm, or suffering on another, either because of a hostile impulse or out of deep-seated meanness. Amen. That's part of our carnal nature. Amen. If we're going to grow in God, then we have to remember, vengeance is mine. Amen. God is a God of vengeance. Amen. People won't get by when they do wrong. When you, as a child of God, have someone to speak about you in a disparaging way, or to act toward you in an unseemly manner, amen, that person is not going to get a free pass. And neither will you. We reap what we sow. But God said, vengeance is mine. And so if you take matters into your own hand, you're usurping authority. Amen. It's one thing to usurp the authority of an individual, but when you usurp authority in this category, you're usurping the authority of God. Some people set themselves up to be little gods and taking the role of God. We're not God. Amen. And so we've got to let God take care of it. God will take care of it. Amen. He said, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. Okay, the second thing that will prevent you from growing and maturing as a child of God is guile. Guile is crafty or artful deception. It is a synonym for guile is duplicity. Speaking or acting in two different ways concerning the same matter with the intent to deceive, something that is called double dealing. They may pretend to have the purest of motives, but their intentions are vile. Their intentions are to do damage, to bring hurt, to bring injury, to defraud, to take something that doesn't belong to them. That's guile. The devil is crafty. The devil will come to you and he'll promise you all kinds of, oh, he can really pour it on. He can talk so syrupy. But talk is cheap. It's not what we say, it's what we do. Guile is professing to have one intention and having another. Duplicity will cause you, amen, to stagnate and die as a spiritual person. We must never allow guile to be in our mouth or in our heart. And the third thing that's mentioned here in 2 Peter is hypocrisies. Hypocrisies is a pretense of having a virtuous character, pretending to be moral or religious in our belief or our principles that one does not really possess. It is literally playing the part. You will never grow and mature spiritually if you're just going through the motions. You can clap your hands. You can know all the words to Amazing Grace. Amen. You can know when to sit down and you can know when to stand up. But there's nothing that will take the place of sincerity and truth. We cannot pretend to be something that we are not. Amen. We live in a world of make-believe. There's so much acting today. So much political posturing, if you please. To say the right thing. To appear to be the right thing. But God sees deeper than just the surface. God sees much deeper. And we must not just play the part of a Christian. We've got to be a Christian. Amen. A Christian, amen, cares. A Christian is forgiving. A Christian is full of love and mercy and grace and joy and peace and long-suffering. Hallelujah. That's what Christians are all about. We can't just pretend. Amen. We've got to be what we pretend to be. We've got to be a Christian. Amen. Let's be Christians. Hallelujah. How do we be a Christian? By being Christ-like. It might be a good thing to ask yourself, if you want to grow and mature, is what would Jesus do? Is that what Jesus would have done? I've had to check myself, brother, what's your name? The guy with the blue tie? Praise God. I've had to check my spirit sometimes, Brother Grissom, because I've wanted to get back. I've wanted to get even. I've wanted to show them a thing or two. Let them have a taste of their own medicine. Can anybody identify? But that's not Christ-like. That's not godly. That's not mature. You know what that is? That's childish. Amen. Amen. When it comes to malice, amen, we ought to be children. But when it comes to, amen, knowledge of God, we need to be mature. Praise God. Envy is something that will hinder spiritual growth. What is envy? Envy is very close akin to jealousy. But envy means literally a feeling of discontent. Or covetousness with regard to another's advantages, successes, or possessions. To envy someone. Amen. We cannot be mature saints of God if we envy what belongs to someone else. If we envy someone's person. If we envy, amen, their possessions. Amen. Envy will hinder our spiritual growth. And then evil speaking. Evil speaking is to slander or discredit a person by underhanded means such as innuendo, accusation, or the like. To belittle or defame someone by malicious gossip, a verbal attack. You know, sometimes we don't just come out and say what we want to say, but we imply things that we really don't know. Amen. We imply that someone has done something not really knowing. Even if we did know, it's not our responsibility to spread the gossip. But somebody said, well, the things that I tell are true. The Bible says where the talebearer ceases, amen, amen, there's no strife. And so we need to stop, he said, evil speaking, speaking bad of one another, speaking bad of a brother or a sister. But can you imagine the world thinking, well, if they speak like that of one another, I wonder what they say about us. If he talks to his wife like that, and he talks to his kids like that, just what kind of a guy is he anyhow? Is that the kind of guy you'd want to know? We belong to a family. We're brothers and sisters. Hallelujah. We're children of the King. Amen. So do we want to slander one another? Do we want to use innuendo? No. Amen. Always. Amen. Think the better. Amen. Always think better of one another. Even if you're not really sure. Amen. Let God take care of things. Amen. Think the best about somebody. Don't think the worst. Amen. Don't speak evil of one another. And then in 1 Corinthians, if you have your Bibles, let's go to 1 Corinthians 14 and verse number 20. 1 Corinthians 14:20. The context here is in regard to spiritual gifts. Now, we love spiritual gifts. But did you know that it doesn't matter how many spiritual gifts that you have, it doesn't matter if you can interpret tongues, it doesn't matter if you prophesy, it doesn't matter if you perform miracles, it doesn't matter if you have all wisdom and all knowledge and able to move mountains and all that, if you don't have what? Love. Charity. You're a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. Now, this is in the context of spiritual gifts. So what it's all about? Everybody wants to be used of God. Everybody wants, amen, to be a part of ministry and helping and edifying and promoting the kingdom of God. And in the midst of this passage on spiritual gifts, we'll look at verse 20. Brethren, be not children in understanding. Howbeit, in malice, be ye children. But in understanding, be men. Now, there are three different Greek words that are in that one verse that talk about three different stages of human growth. The first word we're going to look at is the Greek word nepiazo. Nepiazo means infants who cannot yet speak and who know nothing of sin. They're innocent. The next Greek word that is translated children, there's three times he uses these three different words about stages of development. The Greek paideia. Paideia means children that are beginning in school to receive their first instruction. And then the third Greek word that's found in this passage is teleioi. And teleioi means men of mature age and thought, men of growth and understanding. Now we're going to look at that scripture a little differently because we do not understand in English what was given in the original language of the New Testament in the Greek. He says, brethren, be not paideia. Be not paideia, children, in understanding. Now remember, paideia means what? Infant, or rather children, beginning in school to receive their first instruction. So children, brethren, be not beginners, amen, when it comes to understanding. Don't be kindergartners when it comes to understanding the things of God. Amen. Be not paideia, children. Amen. But in malice, he said, I want you to be children. First he said, I don't want you to be children. And then, I'd rather be not children. And then he says, but in malice, I want you to be children. But the word that he uses here, where he says, in malice, be ye, is nepiazo. And nepiazo means infants who cannot yet speak and who know nothing of sin. They're innocent. In malice, amen, I want you to be like a baby. You don't know nothing about payback. You don't know nothing about getting even. You don't know anything about talking about your brother and your sister because a nepiazo can't even speak. Amen. Maybe that's the key right there. We'd be better off sometime if we'd keep our mouth shut. That's right. That's right. Paul said, in malice, I want you to be as infants that cannot even talk. If you can't say anything good, then don't say anything at all. Come on, that's what the Bible says. Hey man, in malice, I want you to be nepiazo. I want you to be like children that can't even speak and that don't know anything about sin. I want you to have a pure mind and a pure heart. Oh, hallelujah. You didn't know you could get so much out of Greek. Praise the Lord. But in understanding, be men. And the word there is teleioi. Amen. But in understanding, be teleioi. That means men of mature age. Men of growth and understanding. Amen. We need to understand the Word of God. We need to study, amen, God and His Word, that we might be able to rightly divide the Word of truth, not twisting the Scripture to our own destruction, but being able to rightly divide the Word of truth. Can you say praise the Lord? Mature Christians prefer others before themselves. That's how you can tell if someone is mature. Because an immature Christian is always wants the spotlight. It's, look at me. It's all about me. Me, 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 me. If I can't be the cock of the walk, I'll tear up the walk. Amen. But mature Christian, amen, they prefer their brother above themselves. Praise God. Amen. Now just how mature are you? Amen. Do you see the best seats? Do you want to be first in everything? What did Jesus say about that? He said, don't choose the best seats. Amen. But rather, he says, sit back away from the head table, and then perhaps they will honor you and ask you to come up a little closer. Because you see, the way up is down. He that would be greatest, let him be servant of all. Amen. Humility. If you're just how mature are you, just how humble are you? Amen. Humility, amen, is a mark of a mature Christian. Spiritual maturity is not something that happens overnight. Now, I'm winding down. If you want to go ahead and come. Amen. I promise I won't keep you long. I've said 5 minutes before and went 20, but I promise you, I'm almost there. I'm almost there. Spiritual maturity doesn't happen overnight. You don't wake up one day and you become, you know, maturity set in. It don't work like that. You don't change from a childishness and pride and overnight. Maturity requires growth. And growth is a slow process. For some of us, it was a little slower than for others. Maturity is a process. The Greek word that is translated perfect in the King James Version, the Bible says, be ye perfect as my Father in heaven is perfect. How many of you want to be like Jesus? The word translated perfect in your Bible means mature or complete, not flawless. You're not going to be flawless until you get a new body. till you cross over to the other side. Amen. So when He tells you to be perfect, He's not telling you to be flawless. He's not saying that He will not allow you some imperfections and some growth pains and some struggles and some determination in your growing up and maturing in God. But you are complete in Him who is the head of the body. Everything you need, you'll find it in Jesus. Amen. When you are lacking in some area, amen, God will make up for that lack. Hallelujah. They say that a man is not complete until he's married and then he's finished. Have you ever heard that? Now they say it as a joke, but it's really true that a woman completes the man. There are things that men just don't get very well. Now I'm not putting down the male, but God never intended for you and I to be alone. When we're alone, when I'm alone at least, I can be dangerous. God saw it was not good for the man to be what? Alone. And so He made a woman to complete the creation, to supply what He lacked. The woman needs the man as well, because he has things, characteristics that she doesn't have, that she looks to for leadership and guidance. Amen. And stability. God wants you to be complete. And you will never be complete alone. Some people think that they are an island to themselves. They don't want to give an account to nobody. You know, being alone doesn't necessarily mean living in like a hermit up in the mountains. There are some people that try to live the Christian life, amen, without any accountability. They don't want to answer to a pastor.
Come on.
They don't want to answer to any kind of authority because they're like old E.T., Ernest Tubbs. They're going to sail their ship alone. But we need one another. I need my brothers and sisters. I need the ministry. God gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. What? For the edifying of the body. We can't survive alone. We need one another. Amen. To grow into maturity. And so we need one another. Spiritual maturity must be motivated by love. It will never be the result of pride. You hear me? Spiritual maturity will never be the result of pride. It will always be the result of love. The greatest commandment is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt worship the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength. We've got to love God. Spiritual maturity begins with faith. Mature Christians should be teaching new Christians and immature believers by their words and their deeds. And when mature Christians lean on God, they will teach. Amen. They will not They will not be unruly. They will not walk after the lust of the flesh or by the will of man, but they will walk in love and in submission and in faith. Christian maturity requires diligent striving. Just like that little seed that looks for a place to germinate and grow, we need to strive to mature in God. God, help me, God, to bring my flesh under subjection. Discipline myself to be like you. What would Jesus do? Amen. Before you act out your emotions, before you act impulsively, before you go by feelings, ask yourself, what would Jesus do? A mature Christian doesn't walk according to his emotion. He doesn't walk, amen, according to what he sees with his eyes or what he hears with his ears. No, not a mature Christian. Amen. It doesn't matter what you see or what you hear or what you feel. Amen. A mature Christian goes by what he knows. And I know that my Jesus, amen, loves me. I know that he cares. I know that it's not his will that any should perish, but that all should come to eternal life. Amen. You may not feel anything. Sometimes, amen, there'll be times in life that you might not feel like shouting. You might not feel like, amen, running the aisles. Amen. But you know, just because I don't feel emotional, just because I don't feel like running the aisles all the time, does that mean that God is any less God? Or God is any less real? Or that God is any less present? Amen. I know God is here when I don't see God. When I don't hear God. When I don't feel God. I know He's here because He said, "Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world." He's here. He's present in this place right now. Oh God, I want to grow. I want to grow in you. Would you stand? Hallelujah. I'm going to turn this service to our pastor. Amen. Amen. Respond as the Holy Ghost would lead you to respond tonight. In Jesus' name. Praise the Lord.
Amen. All of the Christian life is a process. And the Bible says that we are to grow in Christ. The Bible says that we perfect, if I say perfect, holiness in the fear of the Lord. The word perfect means to become mature. We become mature in holiness. It's not something that we do to impress others. It's something we do because we love the Lord. Brother Hart had it so correct in that everything in the Christian life, its only motive can be love. If you do it for any other reason, you have the wrong motive. But as you love the Lord, the Bible said the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. And that's what motivates us to do the right things. It's the love of God. That's what compels us. That's what drives us. It's our motivation. The love of God. Amen. Praise God. I want to be a mature Christian. How about you? I want to be a mature Christian. And some days I am. And some days I lack. And the days that I lack just simply lets me know I got to dig a little deeper. I've got to grow a little closer. I've got to walk a little more faithfully. Amen. Praise God. Anybody ever miss it a little bit? Or maybe a whole lot? Amen. But you know what? This is not a, it's not a dash. Amen. It's a long journey. We're in a marathon. You can't run it in a burst of speed. Amen. It's day by day. It's day by day. Praise the Lord. Amen. And I think it would be good to just come and allow the Lord a little time here to shine His spotlight into our heart and let us see where we are. Talk to Him about maybe some things that we need to change. Lord, thank You for loving us enough not just to be a cheerleader, but a coach. Not somebody that just cheers us on in spite of how we're doing, but somebody that knows how to correct what's wrong so that we can do what's right and we can become better. So I'm asking You tonight, Lord, look into our hearts in this house and help us to be better. Lord, help me to see the areas of fault, shortcoming, and even failure. Not to excuse it, not to press past it, but to stop and learn its lesson and learn how to correct it so that next time I'll do it right. So Lord, here we are tonight in Your presence, in Your sweet, holy presence, asking You to help us. Help us not to have anything hidden anywhere, but help us to have everything open. Because if we hide, if we're only hiding from ourselves, we can never hide from You. For You know all things, the deep things. God, You know all things. The Bible said, for all things are open and naked with Him with whom we have to do. So You see it all today, Jesus. I don't just want You to deal with my actions, but with my attitude and then my motive. Help me, God, to be pure in my motive, the reason that I do what I do. Help me to do it, God, for the right reason. And then help me to do it, God, with the right attitude. Amen. Help me to do it, God, out of love for You and love for my brothers and sisters. Love for lost humanity. Help me to do it, God, because I'm motivated by the same thing that motivated You. Hallelujah. That while we were yet sinners, the Bible said that You died for us. You loved us when we were still Your enemies, enemies of the cross. When we were still lost in our sin, You care. Hallelujah. When we spurned You, turned our back on You, disappointed You time and time again, You never gave up. But You always come again with Your invitation, with Your encouragement. And I thank You for it tonight. I desperately need You. I know that I'm nothing without You. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I need You, Jesus. The psalmist said, I need You more than my necessary bread. Not just what is extra, but what I've got to have to live. You're more important than the very air that I breathe or the beat of my heart. Amen. You really are alive. You're what's important. You're what makes life really meaningful and complete. Hallelujah. Amen. Make